Anytime you start on a Monday, there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic.
Oh?
Don't you think? It's always
yes.
a fresh start to a fresh week.
Oh, yes.
Do you see where I'm going with this on our latest edition of Real Kipper and Bourne, Leaf Edition?
Yes, I do.
Welcome aboard. I'm Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jen Rolnick in for the next 2 hours. No Jen Rolnick? I was just upstairs.
And the week's ruined.
I already blew it. I'm not as optimistic now.
No.
Jake the Snake Schultz, even though I saw Jen Rolnick upstairs.
So she sets everything up for our show, and then Jake comes in and he does the actual show. So she's here until 4 o'clock, and then Jake subs in for our show and fan drive time.
That's how the sausage is made.
Isn't that something I should have been told, like, in September?
Well, Kipper, when you put the name on the lineup of the proper guy that's right in front of you, you know?
You did overrule the lineup for once, and it didn't work.
Fair point.
Thank you.
Can I say we're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan?
We are.
Sportsnet 360?
Yes.
Sportsnet Plus?
Those are all correct things.
Accurate. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get this thing going again.
Okay.
I went to the game Saturday night.
Cool.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. The lamb chops were delicious in the alumni box.
Lamb chops? You do like a mint jelly or what? Yeah.
More of a, I think a garlic sauce.
Oh, nice. That's great. Yeah.
But outside of that, I think a lot of disappointed Leaf fans for the second time. A key divisional game.
Mm-hmm.
First one against Florida, obviously, but the second one goes against a team that is inching ever so closer to you in the standings. So,
yes.
I want to start with you, because if I start with the other guy on our show, then I'm really nervous on that.
Well, I think good hockey game, you know, like it was good energy, good pace. I thought it was fun. They didn't win. I don't know if you noticed that part.
Yeah,
that part was a bummer. Yeah, you know, I'm going to try to keep things positive today, not for the sake of keeping it positive, but because I do feel like some of the narrative is swinging towards this Leafs team suck, and they don't. You know, they have lost some games to some very good teams in this stretch. We know it's 7 games since they've won in regulation. Vegas, Colorado, Florida, some of the best teams in the league there. Hot Ottawa team. They haven't lost a game by 2 goals, you know, not counting empty netters. So they've been in every game. And I still feel like the bones of some positivity are here. So I'm not as panicked today as some people, but I think it's clear that something needs to change, right? They're not getting over the hump against these good opponents, and you're going to have to beat good teams in the playoffs. So that would be the greater concern. They're not suddenly bad, but boy, they got to find something better.
Go ahead, Sammy.
Well, yeah, I think there's something to that you look at the team and there's similar players on the team to when they've played well, and you know there's reasons for them to pull out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue that this has been the worst stretch of hockey in the Matthews and Marner era since Babcock got fired. Like, before that, Babcock got fired, that stretch, they were really, I couldn't tell you exactly how many they'd lost in a row or what the stretch was, but I really can't remember them losing 6 of 7 at any point over this era. Like, they really haven't gone into these long slides. It's actually been a bit of a calling card of this group that they haven't really had long losing streaks. And I just think it's a very uninspired hockey team right now that generally people don't enjoy watching, boys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that's a common thing that I'm getting. Like, I get a ton of messages from fans and DMs and texts. And a lot of it is there's just sucks to watch right now.
According to my math, they give up 1 fewer chance per game than last year, and they create 2 fewer chances for themselves, which means there's 3 fewer chances per game total, 2 of them that would be the Leafs, so that's concerning.
All right, I want to pick up right off of that. Let's just go to Craig Berube on his thoughts Saturday night, and we'll follow it up with your comment on lack of opportunities compared to last season.
I thought, you know, I'd use the word urgency, some detail stuff. You know, I thought that their 3 goals were all about losing battles inside the blue line. You know, we didn't get enough. win enough battles there in that area of the game. And, you know, it's urgency for me and details in the first two periods that weren't there. But when we decide to have urgency and do things the right way, we're a way better team in the third. But you're behind, and sometimes you don't come back. We had chances, but that's what happens.
All right.
Once again, they get a lead, right? Seemed like good energy, especially after Willie Nylander's pretty darn great individual effort.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And, you know, a couple of new guys helped out there. Lawton went to the net. Carlo had snuck down back door, created some space for Willie. That was a very positive moment.
And it's nice for the coach when your idea of putting a scorer on the third line goes up against some lesser competition and he ends up putting one in the net.
Yeah.
All is looking very well from the start of the game.
It was.
Then what?
Just some bad mistakes, some bad decisions for me.
Yeah, you were saying, though, with the chances for that, you don't feel like they're...
Well, yeah, to me, at times, I know, to Sammy's point, that they get accused of boring hockey or just uninspired hockey, and I'm just wondering now, are we down to looking at Craig Berube and saying, okay, something needs to change systematically with this hockey club, because whatever we thought was working in November is no longer working anymore. And the one thing that I'll remain consistent on is that the gap between the defense and the forwards to me remains like huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are times when I watched Carlo behind the net and everybody's out of the zone. Like, and it gets to the point where if he's challenged at all, like, wingers have to come back into the zone to help. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not even in a support position, just in case if he falls down, if he blows an edge, there's nobody around. The constant stretch passing and then the turnover in the neutral zone only to come back in your own zone is a constant, like, thing that I see almost every other shift now.
Yeah, it's funny because they're like banking on this idea that in playoffs, the possession hockey they played of old didn't work. So in playoffs, they're going to go north. They're going to chip it off the boards. They're going to chip it in. They're going to go get it because, again, they hadn't had success the other way. But we used to say last year when they would go down in a game that they were never out of it, right? They were down 5-0 to Columbus and went to overtime at one point last year. They had this unbelievable ability to come back in games.
Scored a million 6-on-5 goals, it felt like, last
year. A million 6-on-5 goals. And in terms of, like, underlying possession stuff, I'm doing some work with AWS for an article I write this week for their ice tilt, which is where the players and the puck are in the game. And even when the Leafs would lose last year and previous years, they generally controlled the play. This year, they're no good. I mean, they're really no good. Of the teams who are going to make the playoffs, it's like them and LA who are at the bottom of that. They're never more than 50%, almost never. Twice in the last 15, I think. So, yeah, they're playing in a way that they don't have the puck, they don't control offense, and to your point, disconnected.
I think the crosshairs of a lot of Leafs Nation has made its way towards Craig Berube, and I think a lot of people are starting to talk systems, talk about matchup with roster in terms of the dump and chase and the north-south, and if it's a north-south roster. But, like, I don't necessarily agree, like, the start on time stuff and all these different things that have been a theme through 8 years where there's one common thing, and it's all these guys who have played together for however long.
But hold on here. The Leafs have been good.
Yeah, in the regular season.
No, at the start of games in the stretch where they've been bad.
Yeah.
They've blown leads, what, 5 times, 6 times?
But I mean,
they're getting ahead.
He's alluding to the fact that, like, he didn't like the start. Like, we can play clip 2. Yeah, play clip 2.
I mean, it's hockey, right? There's certain stretches you go through where it's not there, and you just keep battling away as a coach, and you got to, you know, hold your players accountable to it, and they got to hold themselves accountable to it. They need to make their mind up in the room. The importance of the start of the game and 60 minutes. you know, urgency, details, doing things right, playing our game. You know, we just, I didn't find that we wanted to play our game early enough in this game. We wanted to bring pucks back and play slow and try to go through them. And yeah, we had some chances off the rush. I get all that. But you don't build your game. You know, third period, kind of, we played more north, won more battles, more urgency, and it's a different period, right? So it's about us getting together here and putting 60 minutes together of that.
See, and this is basically...
You're intrigued by that.
You don't agree?
I guess I'm curious about it. Like, you know, I thought they played well early in that game. And his point about regrouping, bringing it back, having the puck, I thought the Leafs looked pretty good. They end up giving up a few goals. And I'm not so sure that they started playing. They were way better in the third. But I'm not so sure that that came on the back of dump and chase. I don't know. And I just know that going into, I've talked to coaches. We interview coaches all the time and ask them, do you coach to your roster or coach the way you want to coach, no matter who's on your team? And pretty much Laviolette in particular was saying, well, you got to look at who you got. Coach your roster. You know, what's their greatest strength? And it does feel like
he's coaching them as simple as it can get.
Well, that's it. But is that the right way for this roster?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't either. This is what we're going to end up seeing if he's right in the end.
Judging by the way I watched Austin Matthews play, no. Mm-hmm. Is it too simple for him? Is his creativity gone? Is his sense of, I must do this, this, and this, gone? And is it a trickle-down effect? I'm just guessing right now. I don't know. But it just seems to me like they're on this, like, robotic, must do this, must do that, must chip in, puck, dump in. And it's like it's not working right now. Mm-hmm. And to Craig Berube's point, like, you can be up a goal or down a goal and you can think you're one shot away, but we can watch over the course of 60 minutes going, that team's harder on pucks. That team's in the Leaf end a lot more than the Leafs are in their end. They're not coming out of their own zone as clean as the other team. They're not making three or four direct passes like the other team. That's the problem. It's not just being up or down a goal. It's just that the overall optics of this team, it looks better than that team.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me because, like, it feels like the Leafs, you know, I said I like their roster. So to me, they still have the same core four in their prime. They're great. They got this other layer of McMahon and Knies who can be secondary scoring. I like their decor more than I have. And I'm sitting there earlier today trying to figure out what is it I like less. And really, you have multiple players, individuals who are good players, having their worst seasons as a Leaf at the same time. And it's the first year that Berube's been here that, you know, Matthews is at his worst and Riley's been at his worst. Say what you will about Tavares, who's shooting it in the net at a good rate. Mm-hmm. A lot of his numbers, you know, they don't control the play.
No.
When he's out there at 5-on-5. You know, and you need those guys to be great. And Marner is having, you know, early in the season, we were like, this is an unbelievable season. You know, he's kind of back to 100-point pace. You know, he's been kind of dry.
Oh, he was awful Saturday night.
He had a tough one.
Yeah, he had a tough one.
Yeah.
He was a tough one.
And since Four Nations, they've just not been as...
Couldn't handle the puck. He was giving it away. Yeah. Things that we haven't seen all season.
Can I ask you about him? And, you know, you got to tread lightly here. But... since this contract stuff and since the trade and since all that stuff, like the trade rumors and stuff, you know, really good the Saturday night in Colorado, the day it happens, all that, like he has two goals in that game, pretty dynamic, has a bit of FU energy in that game. And since then, I don't think it's been particularly good. And he's fumbling pucks, like you said, way more than he ever has. Like, do you think that has any sort of bearing on what's happened over the past three games in terms of his confidence, in terms of what he's going through?
It is possible. Yeah, it is possible. But I look at a bigger picture that this team for a long time has been teetering on things that have not looked good or heading in the right direction. Mm-hmm. They've been trending down much longer than the news that he declined to go to Carolina.
For sure. But that's totally accurate.
Not so, him. He, well, throughout a Kipper, he was very good.
Eventually, if things don't get corrected, it affects everybody.
Yeah, it's fair.
And on top of that, now he's not playing at a high level anymore. For me to sit there and say directly that it became a huge distraction all of a sudden off of that Colorado game now, it's really sinking in, and that's... I'd feel better if the team was playing well and then he started going south on his own, but that's not the case.
Yeah. Okay. Right?
I just thought it was a worthwhile
question.
But it's a legitimate question now. It is. It's like, okay, well, how big of a distraction was it? Who knows what's going on in that room right now?
Someone wrote, Sam and I, excuse me, guys, a very long email about how, you know, when you're managing people, you know, what it does to someone when you basically say, would you leave? You don't want to leave? Okay, you'll stay. You know, does that affect them in some way? Is there some sort of discontent or frustration? And I'm not just talking about Marner when I say that, but like, it's strange that they're not getting more out of this roster.
Yeah.
It's just strange because, again, and I've said it on the show today, I look at it and go, God, there's the bones. This could catch fire like that. It's like dry tinder. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they cannot get the fire started.
It's damp mulch at the moment.
Exactly. It's like, why isn't this more dangerous? Why isn't this on fire?
You know, just to add to your question, you had to have thought that between Brendan Shanahan and Brad Treliving and Berube in July or August, there were ample conversations on, we don't have Mitch on a contract past this season. Mm-hmm. How are we going to handle it? How do we make sure that this doesn't become a distraction or take the focus away from what we're trying to do this year? And can we say for the most part of the season, they were able to do that? And then...
With Marner, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
We didn't sit here and we weren't even close to having Marner conversations like we had Willie a year ago.
Yeah, that's true or not.
But no, like we talked about Willie a lot more.
A lot more. Yeah. Contract and what's going to happen and how much. Mm-hmm. We just kind of left it alone. Everybody left the Marner. What's going to happen to Mitch Marner? And you know, every once in a while it would pop up, but it wasn't like, ooh, are they going to trade him? Are they not going to trade him? How much? Like, it's just, it didn't exist. For the most part, it was left alone. And then, bang.
Yeah.
And now, when you don't win, it will be asked time and time again.
And here's the thing, Kip. This is not a good player on a good team who's a part of something greater. The Leafs are unique in that they spent so much of their salary cap on these few guys, and we've always said this, like Team A stuff, but like if their Team A isn't elite, the whole plan doesn't work. The whole plan is built around these guys are not just good players in the league, they're among the 10 best, or you know, whatever you think the numbers are, 15
between 10 and 20.
Yeah, yeah, they're somewhere in that range, and you know, Matthews won a Hart Trophy. Like these are supposed to be this, not they're okay. So when they're okay, they're an average team.
Right, so, back on their shoulders.
What's that?
It's right back on their shoulders.
100%. And that's the way it's constructed. It is their team to win or lose. So tonight they're playing a team, the Calgary Flames, and we'll get more into that, who I was a part of the Flames broadcast. Last week we interviewed Ryan Huska before the game, and he said, we have a leadership group of six. He said, I'll give you the six names right now. And it's, you know, Coleman, Kadri, Anderson, Huberdeau, whoever it is exactly, Uyghur, six of them there. And they come in his office, and they meet every Monday, and they talk to the team, and they're this part of whatever. You know, are the Leafs that connected with the coach and the team and whatever? We do have a quote on their leadership group.
Play the clip three there, Derek.
What stands out about the leadership group so far, what you've learned about them that leads you to believe they're going to be able to get this back on?
Oh, 100%. I do believe that. Yeah. These guys, they want to win. Trust me on that. They want to win. and they want to, you know, there's a sense of frustration for sure. And we got to look past that. You know, we can't, you know, complain about or, you know, get undisciplined because teams are checking us hard. And that's what you got to get through. They checked hard tonight. Florida checked hard. Teams are going to check hard. Every game we play, they're going to check hard. And you got to fight through the check. You got to fight through the checking.
So is that what's happening to his leadership group of Marner, Matthews, and
not fighting through checks?
Not fighting through checks now?
I don't know. You know, watching Matthews.
It's like he's behind them 100%. He will not question anything about them.
Yeah.
Right? But with 15 games to go, is he smart to do that, or should he challenge them more?
No, it's too late to challenge
them. I tend to agree, and whatever's being said behind the scenes, mm-hmm. you hope.
Got to be on the same page.
He's got to get them going.
But the one thing he repeatedly has done here, which, you know, I tweeted some of my frustration about it, is he's gone back to the lines, right? Tonight they're going to see the exact same lineup they've seen. Nyes, Matthews, Marner. It's going to be Domi's playing center again on that third line we've seen with Robertson and McMahon. It's back to
Holmberg into the top six.
Right. Like, this is back to his comfort spot. And you can either look at that as this is a show of confidence that he believes in them and this is the way it's going
to
be.
Habits take time to break.
Or a lack of creativity in looking for other things. Why don't we listen to Berube clip sticks on the new old lines?
With, just success that we've had, you know, and the chemistry that they have. And then I wanted to create a line of with Lawton and Lorenz and Yarny of just more of an identity line, a checking line.
There you go.
So now they got the guy they got to play center so Domi doesn't have to, Scott Lawton, who fought last game trying to get himself into the game as a Leaf, had his best touches, threw some hits. They got him on the fourth line. Kampf is still out. The guy who was playing 15, 16 minutes a game for this team 2 years ago. That to me is like, you're not doing this in playoff. Kampf is going to be in the lineup. You're not playing Lawton on the fourth line. I don't get that one.
Okay. Just to add to the broader scope of a conversation, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on Lawton's game Saturday night.
Clip it, 9.
Well, his best game was last game. Way more involved playing his type of hockey that he plays. And that was one of the thoughts going into putting this line together. That's probably a good line for him. You know, that's playing that hard hockey, that heavy hockey, checking hockey, physical, you know, with them, with those two guys. So we'll see where it goes.
Okay. So for me, I said the first two games, he's got to be more physically engaged than he was Saturday night. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you didn't trade him to replace Kampf.
No. He's new Kampf. That's what's going on here.
And what did they give up for him?
First and Grabankin.
Grabankin, third best prospect?
Whatever he is.
I don't know.
He's in the conversation of their prospects.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And first, you said?
Yes. I would much rather him said, Lawton's going to play on the second line with Tavares and Nylander or Marner, whatever. Yeah. Tavares and Nylander and Lawton. Mm-hmm. Lawton's going to be at the net. He helped Willie get his one goal. He's going to forecheck for them. He's going to be the grit and grind guy who, if he gets a touch, can shoot it in. Mm-hmm. We're back to Domi at third line center or whatever. That makes sense to me. You want to play him at wing. That's too bad. It didn't work out at center. Like, but now just fourth line center. Domi's still at center. It's like, what?
He has to. They're going to have to find a way to get him back up the lineup. You cannot trade a first and a prospect for a guy playing. What did he play Saturday? Even Saturday?
He was hurt on for a bit.
He left the game late. Well, it was like midway through the third period. He got high stick, probably around the 10-minute mark. Didn't come back. So he probably
13.
I was going to say probably like
okay.
12
all right.
Or something.
So maybe he was headed towards 14 or 15. But that's where he has to be. Eventually here.
Right. But if I'm Tree, I'm like, what do you mean he's playing fourth line center? We just got him for you.
So I'm not going to claim buyer's remorse here, but I always
like you're about to.
I always pushed for the team to get somebody that could come closer to supporting Willie, Austin, mm-hmm. Mitch, Tavares, a guy that could step in and hold his own just in case maybe Tavares went down with an injury. That's not Lawton.
No.
No, they went big on D. They needed a guy that could legitimately hold a top six spot on his worst days.
But they didn't get him. And so now it's like, we need to get the most out of this guy. We need to get the 15, 20-goal Lawton, who every four or five games shoots one in, forechecks, plays 15 minutes, kills penalties. You know, this is not setting him up for success. Unless you feel like he's off, he's hurt, or he's whatever. And let's give some credit to Lawton. Tough spot. Career guy, 30 years old, been a Flyer his whole life. You know, comes to Toronto where there's max pressure. You know, you're getting settled. You're on the road. It's a lot. You know, that was his third game, I think, with the team. And now they're like, yeah, you're going to be 4C. It's like, ah, I just don't love the way that sets him up. I do feel like I would rather see Kampf play in their third line center. Try to get this guy going. He's a guy that I know there's more there. And we've seen him be more for them. He scored 10 one year playing 15 a night.
He's still your most natural centerman outside of your top six.
And they got Austin killing penalties, you know, as one of the first guys over the boards. Well, Kampf's either not killing or in the press box. This guy was your best killer. Him and Mitch can go kill. Save Matthews from playing 22 a night. Play him 20 a night and let Kampf kill.
Okay, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts.
Can't disagree with anything you just said there, Mike.
Let's get his thoughts on the PK clip 8.
Well, I mean, there's mistakes that happen on PKs, right? And there's goals that go in. I mean, the one went off Tanny. I mean, it's, you know, we're not going to go away from what we do as a penalty kill unit, but there's always things that we try to clean up on it a little bit. Again, you know, on the penalty kill side of things, there's got to be a little bit more urgency in that department too. And blocking some more shots. Taking care of the front of the net. You know, if you look at the goals that Florida scored on us, they're right there in the crease, and we gotta win those. We gotta do a better job of that.
He just mentioned the goal that went off a Tanev's stick, mm-hmm. Giroux. Mm-hmm. Like that's not a bad bounce, hard luck, bad bounce. You go watch the face-off that was just mm-hmm. 5 seconds prior to that. At least won a clean draw. And McCabe, who is shoulder to shoulder on the wall with Zetterlund.
Yeah.
He's first on the puck. Like, McCabe is totally flat-footed. Mm-hmm. He gets the puck back to the wall. Now McCabe goes and chases to try to find a puck that's not even 50-50. It's more like 70-30 Ottawa. Mm-hmm. And he totally goes on the wrong side of the puck and creates this odd man rush. That's the goal. That's why the goal went in, not because it bounced a bad bounce.
Right. You put them in a spot.
Two colossal mistakes by Jake McCabe on that penalty kill. And those are the mistakes that kill you. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's not been great.
No, lately. No. He had a very difficult night, in my opinion. And this is the stuff that when you're 15 games out of your first game in the playoffs should not happen.
I will say I don't hate that they're not like peak right now, because I feel like teams peak right now and they think this is playoffs. And then you got a month of hockey and all of a sudden it's like, that's a long time to hold the peak. But you want some signs that things aren't bad, and they're not getting a ton of those.
I don't want it to feel like the start of a slide when you're already six games into it, mm-hmm. right? You want it to feel like there's signs of them coming out of
right.
it. Like, you know, I watch them play right now, and the thought that crosses my mind is like, thank God they got good goaltending at the start of the year. Yeah. Because there's been how many times have we talked about how many points goaltending has gotten them this year? Like, we settled around 10, 12 points.
I think we're past that.
But like, let's for argument's sake, let's say it's 10 points and they had lost 5 due to goaltending or lost 6 due to goaltending out of that mm-hmm. stretch. You'd be fighting tooth and nail for a playoff spot. Like the East, all of a sudden, all these teams are right around there. Ottawa's 4 points back of you.
Yeah.
You got to wake up here in a hurry.
So did goaltending cover up
yeah.
a lot all along here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but we've been on that, I think. You know, like they're, like you said, they don't.
So is that the difference between one less chance or two less chances offensively and now more? Like, it's ridiculous to think that you need that high level goaltending to be successful.
Definitely.
Like, it's unrealistic.
It is, but, you know, you go in playoffs and you're playing north-south and your goalie's hot and you got a couple of superstars. You know, like, it's not like you can't see a world where they have success with it. It's not. The process is bad.
There will be 16 other teams claiming the same thing.
Of course.
But with some with more reputable, high-end goaltenders
yeah, but they're not,
than what the Leafs have.
That's not the case. Because they're not, you know, Florida's not, or Colorado or Vegas, they're not going into it going, we're going to get outplayed, we're going to get great goaltending, and hope we get some in. You know, hope we get some bounces. That's the Leafs game plan right now.
Yeah, that's a bad game plan.
It's beaten them in the past, but I agree it is. But it,
yeah,
you know.
They got to clean up in front of them.
So I don't know if the answer is, do you max out Matthews to try to win the division? By the way, you mentioned Ottawa 4 points behind them. They're 4 points out of first because Florida keeps stinking it up, and they have two games in hand.
Florida only played well against the Leafs.
They're right there.
Blew a lead to the Islanders last night.
I know. So do you want Matthews to pin it, try to win the division in hopes of getting Columbus or Montreal? Or do you want to sit him down and say, we just need more from you later. We just need more from you come playoffs.
The rest hasn't worked.
Are we all in belief, though, that he is physically not right?
Yes.
I can't speak to being physical or mental, but he's not right.
I have no other conclusion to say that he's physically not there.
Well, the thing that makes me wonder, like, is it mental? And Sam, I'll give you credit because you're the one who brought up the play from before the show.
Oh, the stick?
Yeah, where, like, Nyes wraps one around and it hits, lands on Matthew's blade in the slot with, like, 7 minutes left. And he panicked. Like, one hand flew off the stick. You know, he kind of fumbled it into someone's skates. And it was like,
you know the meme from the office where the guy's carrying the chili? That's what it looked like. I'm like, this guy is the greatest goal scorer in the world.
The best guy, yes. Right? The net shooter inner guy. It's like, whether it's confidence or something else or whatever, it's just like he has moments you're like, wow.
I think in the first intervention, if I'm not mistaken, Ron McLean on Hockey Night in Canada asked if there should have been a penalty on him. Do you recall them getting
the hook.
Tugged?
It was the hook from behind, but it wasn't much. I like the officiating on Saturday. Only two penalties.
To me, he looked like he needed help from the official to draw that penalty. He didn't get it. I honestly believe if it was Austin on a 60 or 70 goal pace, he gets that call all day long.
Oh yeah.
Now, I think don't look at me for help is what the officials, I think, treat Austin Matthews now.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not
getting the benefit of anything.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's all gone not his way. And which is funny because he's, you know, and whatever he's got.
All that Leaf fans have goals. And the people keep texting me, maybe it'll flip this time. Like, that's literally all anyone's like, hey, maybe they suck in the regular season and as soon as the playoffs are good now. That's all anyone's clicking.
Well, it is funny because
we should go, by the way.
Everyone has said that all year long, including yourself and yourself this time. Like, who cares? They go on hot streaks like, let's see it in playoffs. Well,
it's a great point.
Don't ask us. Let's ask a two-time Stanley Cup champion. Craig Simpson is up next. We'll ask him, is it as simple to flick the switch going into the playoffs? When we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, let's go to a guy who's been along every stretch of the way for the Toronto Maple Leafs, along every Leaf fan, and Sammy McKee watching every minute, every time the Leafs have stepped on the ice. Let's welcome in Craig Simpson. Simmer, how's it going?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We just have finished a conversation before we went to break Yeah, there's we still got some hockey to go here, Craig. Sammy tells me there might be some in Leafland who just say, hey, just get to the playoffs and hopefully they hit the switch here. Is it as easy as that sometimes?
Well, it can be. I think you always go through the ups and downs of a season and the highs and lows and try to keep perspective on what you are as a team. I know for Sammy as a fan, that there's the hard part, because look at the ups and downs and the roller coaster ride that it's been. You win three, you lose three, you win five, you lose three. So there hasn't really been a progression. I heard you guys talking about, I think it was Justin who's saying, you almost don't want to be playing at your ultimate best right now. There's still 16 games to go, and do you want to waste them? To me, I get a lot of feeling of that. I don't think any team in the league right now is really pushing all that hard to be, let's say, the President's Trophy winner. They've seen too far in the past the journey to get to that, which means nothing at the end of the day. A lot of times you've wasted a lot of good things, and bang, you get turfed out early. So, there is a mindset, as a player too, Kip, you're in that grinding out days where you go, I'm focused on trying to be ready for the playoffs. So I'm going to get my mind and body, which I think is okay. It's okay to have some, imperfections in your game. It almost gives the coaches a chance to pick you apart a little bit and to keep reminding and working on things. The problem is, though, when you go through these little stretches that all of a sudden become, what now, a 6-7 game stretch with just one win. And now you look at the standings and you go, like, that's what hit me on Saturday was Ottawa wins that game. They're 4 points behind you. All of a sudden you might be in a wild card spot, which you didn't have in your mind. So I do think this is a key week and a key time to sort of snap yourself back into shape and make sure you get the details of your game going back again, because it can, those four losses in the last five games can turn to 6-7 pretty quickly. Now it's a different game, and it's a whole different feel the way you feel as a player going into the playoffs to try to prepare to play the best when you have to then.
Sirma, you've been along with these versions of Leafs team the whole way. What do you feel is different about this team this year than some of the previous versions that have headed into the playoffs with high hopes?
Oh, that's a good question. I just think they've been tested in different ways. Even last year's team, this year's team has one more win, 39 in 66 games. Last year they had 38.
Wow.
They had 9 overtime losses last year, so they had a few more points. But it's kind of been the same, hasn't it? We've said early on, it's not a whole lot of difference. I think the difference this year with the players and in the mindset is, I heard you saying before, you got a bunch of guys that aren't having career years. Mm-hmm. You had last season where you had a career year from Matthews, you had a career year from Meyer, you had a career year from Nylander. All your big guys, so you're going in and you've been pushing for some individual milestones. I think that has been something that in the back of even the player's mind, I've said for a while here, for Matthews, you're not worried about goals so much right now. You know that the season's kind of gotten away from you that way. I think you're focused on, and I've always felt this, a refresher once the playoffs start. And so you can set the reset button. What do you got in the tank now? Play when it matters the most. I said to you guys after the game on Saturday, I just haven't seen a real identity of this team yet. The north-south stuff that Craig talks about, I don't see it all that often in the games. And it doesn't necessarily take shape in the way that they're playing or how they're able to take control. I understand the concept of how you want to play, and you want to play a little better. To me, defensively is going to be really important, but you have to have that ability to break a game open. You have to have that ability to change a game. And I think that's probably the only real thing that would concern me lately is the fact that they've been giving up the leads, even when they've had a good start. Like, thank goodness they got the points out of Utah, because that was a great start and a 3-0 lead in a tough building, and boom. You don't get anything out of that, and it changes things. So, you know, the game in Colorado, as we have Colorado on Wednesday, the ozone possession time in that game was plus 504 for Colorado over Toronto. And, you know, when you look at the difference of this team, to me, I didn't mind them being a possession team. I thought that kind of got the rhythm of their game going. And I do think there's an element of that that they're missing a little bit. And that, to me, will be the most interesting. I like the fact that you can go into the playoffs with maybe a different mindset, that you know the game changes and you know how to play that game maybe better. You know how to check, you know how to forecheck, and you can do it when it matters the most. But I think that's why at times you've seen the ups and downs from this team offensively.
You're listening to Toronto Maple Leaf and Hockey Night in Canada analyst Craig Simpson. So, Simmer, you mentioned working on things. You just mentioned moments ago their own zone. Where would you, if you're Craig Berube starting tonight, prioritize where the focus needs to be if you only had one, maybe two things starting tonight?
Well, I'd start with a little bit of just the simple thing that you can always begin with is I want to see a desperate team. I haven't really seen that for a while, and that kind of stuck out to me. I didn't think, as Justin said, I didn't think they played badly against Ottawa. What stuck out to me was Ottawa looked like a hungrier team. Ottawa looked like a jump in and get in on the forecheck and win those little puck battles. I didn't get a sense of, man, this is an important game against a rival, you know? So you know that you got a Calgary team coming in that's trying desperately to stay in the playoff race. To me, Kipper, you know, you have to manage emotions in this game, and I think some of those are sort of dipping a little bit. I'd want to look at my team and say, show me that you can just take control of the game. Get out there and be the harder team to play against, have desperation in your game. And then I do think the structure of their game and their D zone, like I think I heard you earlier talking about too much separation between the D and forwards. That's creating some turnovers. Have some structure in your own zone so that you can come up with speed, that you can even chip and chase and get after it, because you're coming in unison, you're not getting trapped in your own zone. You know, come playoff time, can't play and execute along the boards in your own end, that's going to be where teams get you in trouble. So I'd be looking for two simple things like that. And I know it's the hardest thing at times to create is that emotion, and it's not necessarily a big rival in Calgary. But trust me, I've watched Calgary a lot lately. They're going to be a hungry team, and you better come out and be able to match their intensity.
Craig, is it fair to point right at Austin Matthews and say it starts with you with a sense of urgency or whatever else emotion you need to draw?
Yeah, I think you're always looking to your leadership group. And let's face it, in the games where, say, in the past, he could inspire or bring everybody up to a level with, oh, man, is he dangerous? Oh, wow, you know, the quick shots and scoring. That hasn't been happening, and you could debate why or how and the reasons for that. So you don't get that same natural jump from having Matthews on the ice where you go, oh, I got let's follow that shift up. Man, was that a great play. I think it's been more subtle things for him in his game. I don't think he's played poorly, but it hasn't had that kind of impact. So, yeah, I do think this is one of those stretches. Nick, you're on game three of a four-game homestand. It's been, you know, two losses in a row against divisional guys. This is your one chance that you say, okay, can he jump up and be maybe the guy that inspires guys to take their game to a different level?
Do you think there's anything to the concerns about energy levels, like particularly the Stars who did the Four Nations thing and travel in the season? Yeah. I know all teams go through it, but for some reason the Leafs seem to be having a hard time with it.
Well, I think there is. I think the Four Nations, no question. You've seen it with a number of guys around the league. You know, but this is the ups and downs of a year. I just think that, you know, managing yourself emotionally, physically is a real journey throughout the whole course of the season. And I think some guys, you know, for whatever reason, at times just find they can't get themselves out of a funk. Look at what the schedule is there. I know everyone's talked about the back-to-back games. Of their 16 games, eight of those games are back-to-backers, right? They've got four more back-to-backs, not huge travel. But if I'm looking ahead there too, that's where it does. The onus is you're not going to be practicing very much. You're going to be resting is probably as big a weapon. And that's a challenge for Berube too. When you're tinkering and you're not feeling good about the structure of your game, this is the time of year that it becomes a lot more difficult to try to work on it when you're trying to manage guys' energy too. So as you know, guys, you want to drop the puck to start the playoffs and you want everybody to be working at their top level. I think I told you before, like Kevin Lowe, when my rookie year in Edmonton started in January, February, saying, come on, we're going to go work out extra before practice to get ourselves and our bodies prepared for playoffs. You know, there's the foresight of going, this is going to be a long journey, so we got to start banking some workouts and banking things. Now, Eric, that was so long ago because you didn't have the trainers that you do now. But that's the mindset of going, this is the time now that you might have some games that you're not playing well. But if you don't go in the playoffs thinking that it could be a 24, 25-game long journey, you're probably not going to make it past 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games because your mind's not ready to put in the effort to work that level for that long.
We'll be looking for that sense of urgency as early as 7:36 tonight, Toronto and Calgary. Simmer, great job as always. Really appreciate it when you do find time for us, man. Thanks for doing this.
All right, take care, guys. See you.
That is Craig Simpson.
Thanks, Simmer.
Two-time Stanley Cup champion, Hockey Night in Canada.
Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, no one watches this team closer. And do you feel any better about the Leafs after his thoughts on...
I've come to the conclusion covering this team, especially in these years of prime everybody, that it's they're never as good as you think they are, and they're never as bad.
Yeah.
So somewhere in the middle lies the truth. We will see better hockey from them. They will be better.
If they don't get better, they're going to miss the playoffs. So hopefully they get a little better.
It does feel like I've kind of forced myself to, you know, in past years, I have felt like they carried play and had potential to be one of the best teams in the league. Like when they lost to Boston last year, they controlled a lot of that series. And, you know, I thought were the better team. They lost a series to Tampa where they were the better team.
Swayman was so good last year.
Yeah. You know, there's times where I felt like, God, you know, that's a pretty good team that got a bad break. I feel like I have had to resign myself to like, this is like the ninth best team in the league. And they're going to need to get red hot with good goaltending if you want to run. Like, it doesn't feel like if everything breaks as it should, they're going to win. It feels like, God, they're going to need some help.
I love what Simmer said there about just what he would be talking about if he was Berube. Mm-hmm. And just show me some urgency. Like, did he say an urgency 100 times today after the game at practice today? Show me you can take over a game.
Let's hear that clip. We actually have Berube talking about addressing a lack of urgency in clip five.
Clip five, yeah.
Yeah, this morning I think, you know, we went over a few things where we're at as a team and, you know, talked about some urgency that we need a little bit. We need more, obviously, throughout the game, not when it's desperate time, you know. I think last game, you know, I thought that... we talked about it, that Ottawa was a little more hungry than us early on in that game. We got to get that battle level and that urgency level up. Guys understand that. They're not very happy right now, which is a good thing. And, you know, so that's really the message. The message, too, is, like, we're right there. I mean, you know, we've got two games in hand here. We've got to take care of our business and starting with tonight's game only and focus on that and... go from there.
They're right there.
Are they?
Yeah.
We gonna learn a little bit more tonight, you think?
It's a certified must win.
I'm betting on the Maplers tonight. It just feels like they gotta have one. They gotta have one tonight, man.
60 minutes.
They're a good team. They're at home. It's a
please win.
They need one tonight.
Must win.
Must win, says Sammy.
Certified must win.
Okay. We're gonna take a quick break here. And when we return, a coach who is a runaway for the Jack Adams Coach of the Year, what do you think?
Definitely.
In Washington.
Pretty close. Yeah. Pretty close.
All right. We've got Spencer Carberry coming up next. We'll talk a little Ovi and the Washington Capitals on the National Hour when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.